Hello friends, Denny Pruto here. In this short lesson, my objective is to introduce you to the little book of 1 John. My hope is that you'll go away with a better appreciation for this wonderful little book. In subsequent lessons, I hope to unpack the little book of 1 John. And my additional hope is that you will grow in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I also hope that you will grow in your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for Jesus Christ. For now, let's get into our introductory lesson. As you can see in my first point, I indicate that 1 John is not a letter. Why is 1 John not a letter? 1 John is not a letter because it does not have a salutation or greeting like 2 John or 3 John. It does not have a salutation or greeting like Ephesians or Colossians or Philippians, each of them being letters. 1 John is not a letter. It is more probably a little sermon or tract. And as a sermon or tract, it is written to the churches of Asia Minor. The churches of Asia Minor were the churches to whom John directed the book of Revelation. And in the beginning of the book of Revelation, you'll find the list of those churches. Perhaps you have a group of maps at the back of your Bible. If you find the map of Asia Minor, you'll be able to locate each of the churches to whom John is directing this little sermon. Now, this little sermon is a general sermon, or as many of the commentators indicate, a general epistle. Of course, we're calling it a sermon. In other words, the sermon was directed to the churches of Asia Minor in a general fashion. And since it is a general sermon to the churches in the first century and applicable to the churches of the first century, it's also applicable to us, to those of us who live in the 21st century. And so, each of us can heed the lesson of 1 John. So why did John write this little sermon? Well, as I indicate in the third point, there are many who indicate that John was writing against certain heresies existing in the church at the time he was writing his little sermon. One of the heresies was Gnosticism. What is Gnosticism? Gnosticism was a heresy in which the individuals, the Gnostics, believed that they had special knowledge given to them by the Spirit of God. The word Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, or knowledge. And as these individuals thought they had a special knowledge from God, they thought they were a cut above the rest of the Christian community. They also believed that Jesus did not come in the flesh. And so there are those who believe that John wrote against Gnosticism because in John 4, 2 and 3, John has to say this: "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." Yes, the Gnostics believed that Jesus did not come in the flesh, and therefore they stood against historic Christianity. The problem is that Gnosticism came into its own at the beginning of the second century, and John was writing his letter at the end of the first century. Well, perhaps there was a forerunner to Gnosticism, a system of thought that preceded Gnosticism. Some historians think that Docetism was that precursor of Gnosticism. The word Docetism comes from the Greek word dokeo. It seems to be. In other words, the Docetists believed that Jesus only seemed to come into the world, or appeared to come into the world. He did not actually come into the world in the flesh. Well, if we think John wrote against Gnosticism and Docetism, we take a negative approach to the little book of 1 John. But I prefer to take a positive approach to the little book of 1 John. It's interesting. When Leon Morris comments on the Gospel of John in his introduction to his commentary on the Gospel of John, he indicates that many commentators list various reasons for John writing his Gospel. And then he says, perceptively, well, wouldn't it be wise for us to consider, first of all, the reason John states for writing his Gospel? Well, I think we ought to do the same thing with 1 John. We ought to consider John's reason for writing 1 John. And it's a positive reason. John gives his purpose for his little sermon in 1 John 5:13. Listen to this text. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I better read that again. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John's objective was that those to whom he was writing would know that they know God. This is what I have in my sixth point. In other words, John wants individuals to whom he's writing to know that they have eternal life. In other words, John's objective for those to whom he was writing was the objective of assurance. More on that in a moment. But let's turn to the idea of eternal life. John is speaking to those to whom he's writing, and he wants them to know that they have eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, we turn back to the Gospel of John and to the 17th chapter and the 3rd verse. Here John tells us the definition of eternal life. Listen to John 17 and verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Reading it again. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. The word for knowing John uses in John 17:3 has an accent on relationship. It's the same word that John, or that the Bible, I should say, it's the same word that the Bible uses in a man knowing his wife, or a wife knowing his husband, her husband. It is the word that accents relationship. And John wants those to whom he's writing to know that they have a firm relationship with God through Jesus Christ. John wants them to know that they know God. John wants them to know that they know Jesus Christ and have a relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. Let's turn back now to John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Yes, John is writing to those who believe in the name of the Son of God. John is writing to those who believe in Jesus Christ. In my seventh point, I note that faith has three aspects: knowledge, assent, and trust. John is writing to those who know something about Jesus Christ. They have heard the message concerning Jesus Christ, and they know about his life, that it was a perfect life. They know that he suffered at the hands of sinners in Jerusalem. They know that he went to the cross to pay the penalty due to their sins. They know that he rose again from the dead. They know the facts of the gospel. They have a certain knowledge about Jesus Christ. But they not only know certain things about Jesus Christ, they assent to the truth of the things that they know. They say yes and amen to the truth or to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They agree with what they know about Jesus Christ. But that's not enough. They also trust Jesus Christ. In other words, they depend upon Jesus Christ as the one who died on the cross to pay the penalty due to them for their sins. They trust in Jesus Christ. They not only know about Jesus Christ and assent to the truth of Jesus Christ and say, oh yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They also trust in Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John is writing to those who trust in Jesus Christ so that they may gain a firm knowledge of the fact that they have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In other words, John's purpose is the purpose of assurance. Now let me draw another distinction here. That is the distinction between assurance of faith and assurance of salvation. John is writing to those who believe in the name of the Son of God. In other words, they know that they have a faith in the Son of God. At the same time, they may lack an assurance of the fact that God loves them and bears his love to their hearts. They may lack that kind of assurance. There are a lot of people in the church today who lack an assurance of salvation. They have an assurance of faith. They know that they trust Jesus Christ, but they lack an assurance of salvation. They lack an assurance of the fact that God bears a love to them through Jesus Christ, and they lack a sense of assurance in their hearts that God does bear that love to them in Jesus Christ. And so what John wants to do is build their assurance of salvation. And John does this in a multitude of ways in his little book. And as we go through the little book of 1 John and address the different parts of 1 John, we want to ask the question, what does this section of 1 John have to do with our assurance of salvation? We trust in Jesus Christ. Now, what does this section of 1 John have to do with our assurance of salvation? Assurance of salvation is like a polished gem, a gem which has been cut and polished, a diamond which has been cut and polished. It has many faces and has many facets. So, assurance of salvation. And John, again, desires us to grow in assurance of salvation. And so that's his purpose, to help you and help me gain and grow in assurance of salvation. And so, as we go through our study, we're going to be coming back to this purpose of John and assurance of salvation. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to read through the little book of 1 John several times. You might want to do that each day. It would take you between 10 and 15 minutes to read through the little book of 1 John. And each time you do so, you will gain something. And you will learn something. And you will be able to put together the little book of 1 John as a whole. And if you want to discuss this little lesson, here are some hints for discussing the lesson. Remember, John's sermon is not a letter. It is a sermon or a tract. You might want to look up Paul's letters to Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and see the salutations there and compare the beginning of 1 John. 1 John was written to the churches of Asia Minor. Again, look on the maps at the end of your Bible and determine the churches to which 1 John was written. Talk about Gnosticism and Docetism a little bit and gain an understanding of those heresies. And then review John's purpose in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, that John's desire is to for you to know that you have eternal life. You might want to review John 17:3 and gain an understanding of the definition the definition of eternal life that John gives in John 17:3, and the fact that John wants you to know that you know. Here's something that I didn't mention. The word that John uses in 1 John 5:13, the word for know, is a little bit different than the word for know in John 17:3. The word for know in 1 John 5:13 has an accent on that which is observable, that which can be seen. And of course, the little sermon of 1 John begins with that which we have seen, that which we have heard. These are evidences, if you will, evidences that crop out of your life and my life that help us understand that we do have eternal life and that we know God in relationship with Him. So you might want to talk about that a little bit and get a grip on the fact that John's purpose is the purpose of assurance. I hope this helps you out a little bit, and I appreciate your taking the time to listen.